County, Missouri, then is when he moved, and those years of mine at the seminary, he was then at Lincoln. First, Ernest Meyer arranged it so that there was a man by the name of Labine, and one of his sons was a student a few classes behind me, and in my brother Walter's class, Labine was their name. He owned a farm which had an old house which nobody had been living for a while, and so they kind of fixed that up and let Dad and Mother live there free of charge, which was only about a mile south of the church, down 3 miles south of Lincoln, Kansas, you know, where Pastor Hoyer was pastor. And Ernest Meyer's dad, they lived 10 miles out of Lincoln, some south and east. Or was it even 10 miles from that church to this church? And they only lived about a mile and a half from that church, but they were members of the Lincoln church. And so they had to come around that way and would always pick Dad and Mom up and take them to church as they would come in, you know, in those years. And so they stayed out in the country, I don't know, maybe about 3 years. And then John Botkis, he moved to Kansas to get a job on a county road there. And so when they moved in, then maybe by that time, a son, I guess, was getting married too, and they wanted to have him live on that place. And after about 3 years, Dad and Mom moved into Lincoln and first lived together with John and Margaret in the same house, having kind of a part. And then the last year,
so when you graduated from the seminary, your parents were still living with Bonkies?
They were living in Lincoln. I don't know if it was then already. Anyhow, they were living in Lincoln, either with Bonkies or in their own home. It seems to me that they were still living with Bonkies, but then when we were out at Hoxie, my first charge, you know, then I think is when they lived alone. And especially when we then went from Hoxie to Ash Grove, and like for instance, we would drive down to Lincoln Center, you know, to my dad's 69th birthday. They were then living in their own little home, and not with Bucket. And soon after that, though, we were then, yes, soon after that, John then decided to go back to Lincoln and to work. I don't think he bought the store, but he rented a grocery store, and he worked in the grocery store then, he and his boys. And my folks then went along with him and lived at Gilead. And it was then the year Dick was born, in 31, that John, getting some twine, you know, for the harvest, the grocery store had a lot of twine for the farmers, you know, to use for their machinery for wheat bundles and so on. And he and the other man was driving somehow, and whether the other man near collision or something, anyhow, John, being on the right side, was thrown out of the front part of the truck. He had quite a load of groceries and twine, particularly twine, I think. And John was thrown out, and somehow the thing must have keeled over, and a sharp corner of the truck just crushed his head. John's head, he was lying there, you know, and fell on him, corner of the caboose of the truck. And it was, his head was hurt so badly that he only lived a matter of hours.
And that was your brother-in-law?
That was that's John Bakke, you know, that was Bill Bakke, the one who would do the reading service.
So up until that time, they had lived with them, and then what happened after John died?
Then after John died, then is when Dad, I think, more and more, got these kind kind of hallucinations, you know. Well, already before that, already starting in Kansas, I remember on his, when we visited him on his 69th birthday, I was out in the yard, he'd tell me something, and about a few minutes later, he'd say the same thing over again, and like he didn't remember. And one thing there surprised me, how he just got all excited that they didn't have some water there. So sometimes he just had moments where something just came over him that he must have been just in a different world. And there, when they had gone to Gilead, Mom and Dad lived in a house by themselves. But Dad, sometimes, you know, in his nightgown, he would go outside, and Mom had a time to make him realize that he should be in the house in bed. And since he was having this, Mother thought maybe it'd be good for him to come along right after Don's funeral. Mom was along too. We took. That is when Dick had been born, and Hattie had come, and Mom didn't. Since John was dead and buried, my mother didn't know what to do with Dad there. Well, I took him along to Ash Grove, and so they stayed there a number of weeks with us at Ash Grove. And Dad more and more had these moments of restlessness, and all I connected with that thing there, that in the end and Mother agreed. See, Dick was so young, and we had those other little ones. We agreed that Dad could sometime, being irresponsible, maybe do harm, because sometimes he would get sort of angry, you know, and over something, and he'd have some like hallucination. Like for instance, we'd be sitting here, and a farm machine would go by like a binder, you know, make a lot of noise, and oh, he gets so excited, he's going to come right for the house, and so forth, you know. And then I never could figure out. Then he'd have hours of just as clear, you could talk to him. And then I went to Hastings and talked to Pastor Heilman. I had been under the mission board, you know, under him there at Ash Grove. And Dr. Dow happened to be visiting there at Hastings, whom I had a professor in St. Louis. Then also Timon, who was east of us, he was willing to come down to talk to Dad and assist us, so that I had our doctor at Franklin to write out that thing that we would take him to the institution there in Hastings, you know.
And then he died about a month later?
No, only a few days later. Okay. He was there, and I had taken Mom with me so that Mom would be in Hastings while I would be at home. I went home then again. And Mom lived with Olga's sister, or Darcy's daughter, Erna. She was living in Hastings, and Mom stayed with her. But it was only a few days after we had taken Dad there that we had a telephone call that Dad had a stroke or something, and I should come. And so I rushed to Hastings and was then with Mother and with Dad, and he died that evening. And this is the crazy thing. I don't understand how in the world I ever did it. I guess I was sort of not fully responsible myself. Feeling so sorry for Mother, I guess. And thinking, Mom, I had somebody at home, like that good lady there, not Holthus or something like that.
your dad buried?
He was buried in, Gilead and Gladstone formed, my father was the last pastor who had only Gilead and Zoggle Gladstone. After my father had to retire, the next pastor had both of them. Bangard is the one that I was thinking of. He was pastor there at Staplehurst in my days, which was a pretty fair congregation at that time, where my father preached a little during the time he was out for the year. Anyhow, he was buried, my father was buried, and on the Gladstone Cemetery, because those members of Gilead, they had no cemetery of their own, but they had all formerly been one parish with Gladstone, so they had their cemetery lots, you know. And so my dad was buried then at Gladstone, right out there in the country.
Behind the church.
Close to the church.
It says here he died July 29th, 1931. Is that right?
I guess that must be about it. He would have been 70 years then that fall. What is it, November, October?
Yeah, November 13th.
Oh, November